Last week at this time, my wife and I were just arriving home. We were tired, but we were blessed. We just got back with a team that went down to Mexico to build a school. And for some of our on our team of 47, it was their first time. For some, it was their second time. For many, it was their second time. And for a few of us, it was one of many times. But it was a trip of first times for all of us. None of us had experienced an uprising before when we were down in Vicente Guerrero, and the farm workers went on strike. And within the farm workers' strike, there were some instigators. And so roads were blocked, tires were lit on fire, businesses were looted. It was quite a situation. And so we lost a day of work. We had to stay on the base. It was unsafe to go off the base for a day. But the team just stepped up their game. And we were able to complete the school by working long and hard on the other days. And that was awesome. That was an absolute awesome moment. Yeah. Because not only did we have to face an uprising all through the week, we had to keep everybody safe, and everybody was safe. We made sure of that. But the other thing was, on the girls' side of the team, in the girls' dorm, we had a very nasty flu bug go through. And it lasted 24 hours, and it was pretty severe. We had a number of ladies on IV solutions to get fluid replacement. And so it was a challenge, but God oversaw all that. And everybody's come back basically healthy. And like I say, the school was built, and we had a great team. God used us. I think God worked in some of our team. So it was an exciting trip, and I want to share some reflections. On the way home, I wrote down some reflections. I always do when I'm flying back home. I write down some reflections. I want to share those, but first, I want you to watch a little PowerPoint of the trip. It was a good trip. And one of the things, if you were on the trip, just so you know, the governor of Northern Baja wasn't able to be with us for our dedication, but they had a community celebration today, and the governor was there, and they dedicated the school, so an awesome celebration, and they are so thankful for what the team did. So thank you, team, and thank you for allowing God to work through you in that way. As I mentioned, on the flight home last Sunday, I wrote down some reflections, and I just want to share three of them with you tonight, three reflections from my time with the team in Mexico. Here's the first one. We in Canada need to wake up to the reality of the spiritual world. In Canada, you've probably noticed, we tend to accept as reality only those things we can see and hear and touch and smell and taste. Thus, when it comes to things that we cannot hear and see and smell, etc., things like the spiritual world, many people doubt their existence. That's one of the big differences between a place like Canada and places like Mexico and other third world countries. In Canada, we ask, is there an unseen world? In Mexico, they ask, how does the unseen world interact with the seen world? And all you need to do to understand they have a much better grasp of the unseen world is walk down the street of a city like Ensenada. We stop in Ensenada on our way down. It's a port city. It's a cruise ship city. And you walk down and you'll see all these religious artifacts or whatever you want to call them. Crosses and skulls. They have a weird mixture of religion down there. But if you were to ask one of the indigenous people or one of the Mexicans, is there an unseen world? They would look at you strange like, of course there is. And we forget that. I think often they have a much better perspective on the spiritual world than we did. Because the truth is, the invisible world is just as real as the visible world. In fact, the invisible world has a huge impact on our visible world. There's a great story in the Old Testament. Daniel is praying to God, and he's not receiving an answer to his prayer, and he's wondering why, and an angel comes and explains to him why the delay. Listen to these verses in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer. Now catch this. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Isn't that amazing? Daniel's praying. He's not getting an answer. He's wondering why. The reason is there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. And that's why he's not getting his answer. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be absolutely amazed at how much the unseen world and the seen world interact with one another. We tend to forget that in Canada. And it's one of the lessons that I'm reminded every time I go to Mexico, to always keep perspective on that. Here's the second reflection. I wrote this down on the plane. We need to remember that everyone is created in God's image. It says in Proverbs 22 and verse 2, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The Lord created every single person, and that means every single person is valuable. And that means that every single person needs to be shown dignity and respect. And I'm reminded of this truth every time I go into the San Joaquin Valley. Because in the San Joaquin Valley, you see so clearly a culture where that doesn't happen. Where people are not treated with dignity and respect. The reason the farm workers were striking was several. They had not got a pay increase for 20 years. They were paid $8 a day. For 12 hours of work, when they work. You know one of the big issues that was on the bargaining table? It was this. The farm workers wanted the farm foreman to stop raping their daughters. What was happening down there is a farm foreman would say to someone who wanted to work on their farm, "You can work on my farm if I get 20 minutes with your daughter or 20 minutes with your wife." That is actually one of the negotiating points. That's incredible. We don't know how the rest of the world really lives. It's a place where you see people living in poverty. It's a place where children aren't treated with dignity, aren't treated with respect, and really don't have a future. One day, the team went for a tour of the orphanage down there. It's an amazing God working story. You've got to come to Mexico just to go on that tour and hear the God working story with us one day. But Sylvia and I have been on that tour several times, and so we had a big bag of soccer balls we wanted to give away. So we drove up to the campo, and this is the campo. It's a place where some of the poorest of the migrant workers live. They live in one door there leads to one room where a family lives, sometimes a family of multiple people. It's a very poor area. We were there the day before to give out some soup and to bless them with some basic necessities. So Syl and I thought we'd go up there and we'd give them the soccer balls. And we went into this, they opened the door, the gate, and let us in. And I brought one soccer ball out, and I almost didn't get out alive. I was mobbed by kids wanting these soccer balls. And it was amazing we were able to bless them. I actually just picked them up and threw them in the air, so they would have jumped all over me for them. For a soccer ball. And as I walked away from that campo, the song came into my head, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And we need to remember that every single person is created in the image of God. It is so easy to forget that. And when I go to Mexico, I'm reminded of that because I see so little of that. I see so little of people treated with dignity and respect. And yet every person deserves that. Let me ask you tonight, do you treat people with dignity and respect? Do you treat every person you meet as someone that is created in the image of God? Someone that Jesus died for? Do you see people that way? As you walk down the street in Victoria and you see a homeless person, do you see someone that is created in the image of God? Someone that deserves dignity and respect? When you go to school and you walk down the school hallway and you see people. Do you see people as every one of them is created in the image of God, every one of them deserving dignity and respect? What about in the workplace? You go in there and there's the jerks. There's the misfits. Do you see them all as created in the image of God, all as worthy of dignity and respect? I know in my life, one of the prayers I pray is, God, let me see people as you see them. People that you created, people who are worthy, people that you died for. Pray that prayer when you get up tomorrow morning. And see how God changes how you see people. Here's the third thing that I wrote down on that plane, and it's this. We are called to care for the poor. It is so easy for us in this beautiful city, this little piece of heaven, to lose sight of the fact that we are called by God to care for those who are less fortunate than us. It says in Proverbs 14:31 this, those who oppose the poor insult their maker, and those who are kind to the needy honor him. Says in Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in full. Says in Proverbs 21, verse 13, if you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you will cry out and not be heard. We are clearly called by God to care for the poor. And here at Saanich, our vision as a church is so simple. Says in Micah 6:8, God has shown us what is good and what is required of him. Three things, right? Love mercy, compassionately serve others. Act justly for the poor and the oppressed, and walk humbly with Jesus every day. Your feet are on this planet. That's what we're called to do. And as we look together at what are our next steps collectively in loving mercy and acting justly, I want to share just a little seed planting moment, if you will, about what our next steps are collectively. We're doing great things as a church. Well, actually, God's doing them through us. He's the one that does the great things. We're serving the city. We have one coming up shortly. People in our church are serving all over the city, which is such an encouragement to me as I hear the stories of how God is working in people and through people as they serve. Small groups are serving. Ministries are serving. But I want to share with you a little bit tonight collectively of what our next step is when it comes to loving mercy, acting justly, and serving others. And I want to do that through showing you a video. Here it is.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be great to be part of something like that? We want to give you an opportunity to be part of something like that. Last summer, Sylvia and I went down to the Los Angeles Dream Center. You just saw in the video. And we walked around and we looked at their ministry and we talked to some of their staff and we said, we could do that in Mexico. We could do that in Victoria. We could do that in Mexico. And came back and I started talking to the leadership about it. And the dream is to set up a dream center, not quite like they have, but a dream center in the San Joaquin Valley, in Vicente Guerrero, a dream center that would bless the entire San Joaquin Valley. We have a desire to do that. As a church, we want to build a dream center that will bless thousands of people in the San Joaquin Valley. I met with an interesting fellow when I was down there. I met with the governor's assistant. His name was Nanny, and he was an assistant to the governor. It'd be like being an assistant to the premier here in British Columbia. And I was talking to Nanny, and he was saying that the government of Mexico had done a study all through the San Joaquin Valley to see what the greatest needs are in different areas. And I asked him, I said, what are the greatest needs that we, as a mission in Vicente Guerrero, can meet? He said, the first is education. You're doing that. Education will change lives. Second, he said, we need to feed our people. And I said, well, a mobile food bank would be awesome. He said, we need health care. I said, a mobile medical clinic would do that. And then he said one that surprised me. He said, we need sports programs for troubled teens. Sports camps, sports leagues. I said, we could probably do some sports camps. It's nice when I commit you, isn't it? And then he said this. This is the government of Mexico. And he said, make sure as you do all those things that you preach the gospel of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That's the government of Mexico telling us, feed our people, care for our people, and by the way, share Jesus with our people. And so that's our dream. Our dream is that we would create a dream center in Vicente. But beyond that, we also want to look at and are looking at the possibility of creating a dream center type concept here in Victoria, because as you know, the need in Victoria is also great. And so as we're called to walk humbly and to love mercy and act justly, that's our collective next steps. We've joined the Dream Center Network. We want to be about creating dream centers that will change lives as Jesus works through them. And can I just encourage you as I close tonight, that we are making a difference, church. God is making a difference in and through us. You know, we went back to the school we built last March. Today, 43 kids are receiving an education they wouldn't otherwise be receiving because a team went last March and built a school. This September, 60 children will start their education journey because of what God has called us to do in that area. Education is the way out of poverty. Education in Jesus will lead you out of poverty. And so you're making a difference. I close with this story. I was standing in the airport last Sunday. Sylvia and I were checking in the team at the Alaska counter. The agent that was helping us was a Mexican lady, very nice lady. Sylvia had shared what we were doing. And as the team all left to go through security, I was there paying the bill for the bags. And we were just talking, and she looked at me and said, I just want to thank you, and she stopped. She couldn't speak anymore, and she teared up. And she said, I just want to thank you for what you're doing in Mexico. And that wasn't me she was talking to. That was all of us. She was saying, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And I would say, thank you, God, for calling us to do it. Thank you, God, for working through us. And the journey continues as we look at the next steps, both in Mexico and Victoria. And I'm excited to see where God is going to lead us.